We greet you in the precious name of Jesus. We thank the Lord for prospering our plans that we can be here this evening. It's encouraging to see many of you here, visitors. We're glad for each one of you that has chosen to come out. You may open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 4 for a message from God's Word. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 through 27. I'd like to read at this time. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. The title of the message is, Son, Guard Your Heart. It's a father's message to a son a long time ago. And it's just as needful today as ever. Satan is busy attacking the hearts of, yes, young hearts, middle-aged hearts, older hearts. He is boldly attacking. And there's defenses that are being penetrated. And sometimes young Christians are not prepared for the subtle attacks that come to them from Satan. We need to understand that Satan wants us to fail. That's his goal. He wants everyone, particularly these young people. The purpose of this message is to emphasize the great importance of guarding your heart and to give some practical help. In the original, there's two thoughts that come from that word keep, zeroing in on verse 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence. The one thought from that original word, keep, is to exercise great care over. And we can remember when we had something special. I can picture different things from my growing up years that I really valued and took care of. And there was a bike that I got when I was 14, and I was thinking this afternoon, I believe what was on the side was Kabuki. And sure enough, I checked on that, and that was a bike, and I could buy a 1978 Kabuki for $400. So, but that bike I can still picture, and it was a nice blue bike. And some of you might have some hunting equipment or other things that you took care of. Young fellows' cars, I'm sure they don't have French fries and things under the floor mats like some of us older ones, because they value it and it's important to them. But that's what Solomon is saying here. He's saying, son, take great care of your heart. This is important, son. Take great care of your heart. That's what he's saying. The other thought that comes from the word keep is to guard post. And that is to be alert, protect, and defend your heart, to make sure that it's not attacked. The heart, keep thy heart, the word heart is the very core of who we are. It's where we have joy, it's where we have pain. The heart is the source, it is the wellspring. Jesus mentioned that numerous times in Luke chapter 6, verse 45. Jesus mentioned that. Luke 6:45. I'll just read that one verse. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. Words of Jesus saying the importance of, you know, he's saying the heart is the key. It's the wellspring. It's where everything comes from. Whether it's good or bad, it bubbles forth from the heart. The heart is like a deep inner spring, and things come out of it. And what this verse is saying, son, take care of and guard the very core of who you are. This is very important, to guard who you are. That's what Solomon was saying. And youth, we can raise the question, is how can you be successful in guarding your heart? We like to quickly mention four things, and that is that youth perceive the attack. You know, if you're not perceiving it, there's a problem. Secondly is youth keeping your guard. And thirdly, youth fortify yourself. And fourthly, youth from your heart flows your life story. Thinking about perceiving the attack, I think they said a frog, and I remember Jeff Jarman mentioning already about a frog that if you boil it, throw it in boiling water, it'll jump out just like that. But if you slowly turn the heat up, it'll just stay there, and it'll come to a death without any resistance if you do it slow. You know, Satan uses this method, and he's very successful. The individual fails to be aware of what is taking place, and his heart is being captured by the arch deceiver, and he's hardly aware of it. You know, slowly but surely, that is a method that Satan uses very much. Thinking of the old countries, in such as England, there's hundreds of what they have, old castles. I think I read somewhere that there's like 1,500 castles. And they were private fortresses where a family and some important people lived for the Lord and his family. And the castle was built in a strategic location. So probably you think of some elevation and important strategic place. And there was porters at the door, there was watchmen, there was knights that would endeavor to keep this castle secure. And there was two different types of attacks. There was that frontal attack, where they would just come with battering rams and just go right at it. And everybody knew what was happening. They were trying to conquer the castle. But then there was that sneak attack. And maybe they'd have an undercover knight try to sneak inside. Thinking about perceiving the attack, we need to beware of distractions, first of all. And in 1 Kings 20, it mentions that, as thy servant was busy here and there, he was gone. You think about youth, it's a wonderful time. But it's a relatively short time of your life. The time of youth. It can go so quickly. And it's so important, young people, that you are not distracted from the important. The class tonight, four young men and one young lady, you think about life, you're looking at life in anticipation. It's a little different when you're in your 50s and 60s and 70s and maybe 80s. We're looking at life a little different. But you're young. You're looking at it with anticipation, and you're dreaming about the future. You're thinking, "Well, what's ahead for me?" And I do encourage you to remember to not be distracted, to get your eyes off of Christ, because you're so excited about what life has for you. I remember going in Bible school. We give those pictures to each other, and oftentimes someone would write, "Keep Christ number one." Well, it's a lot easier to write it than actually do it. But I do encourage you to do that, young people. Keep Christ number one in your life. It's so important. It's so critical. It's just three words, but Satan is intent in keeping you distracted from what is very important in your life. That's how he works. Youth, you have ambitions. You look ahead and you're thinking, "Well, what's in store for me? Will I get married? Will I have a family? What vocation will I have? Yes, you have dreams, you have aspirations, and that is very good. But don't let them be a distraction from keeping Christ number one. There's a place for diversions and hobbies and all those things, but make sure it doesn't keep you from delighting yourself in the Lord. That's really important, that we delight ourselves in the Lord and have relationship. Thinking about perceiving the attack, secondly, is to perceive the attack. Beware of overconfidence. 1 Corinthians 10:12, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed. What? Lest he fall. He thinks he's strong. He thinks he can handle life. And yeah, he's tough. And yeah, there's others that fail, but I know where to stop so those things don't happen to me. Notice, wherefore let him that thinketh. He thinks he's strong. So he fails to take precautions. Fails to take precautions. And he's blinded to his own weakness. And I think we're all guilty of that at times. Brother Cliff mentioned about failure. Well, failure happens because we're blinded to our own weaknesses. We think we can handle it. Some of the bars in the castle can be broken and it's not noticed. And they feel secure. There's a story from some years ago that I'm sure a number of you would remember. It was something that you wouldn't thought could have happened, but in May 29, 1987, there was a little Cessna that landed in Moscow. He was a West German computer analyst, and he landed right in Red Square, and he stepped out of his plane and smiling and started having people sign autographs, and his name was Matthias Rust, and he had navigated his Cessna to Moscow from Helsinki, an unauthorized flight over 400 miles of some of the most heavily guarded airspace. But he, different times there was some, he got tracked, but on and on he flew, unchallenged and unscathed, and he penetrated the impenetrable, the protection of the former evil empire's sprawling frontiers had broken down in a shocking way. And the irony was rich. On the very day the Soviets were celebrating Border Guards Day, they had failed to protect their borders. They were celebrating Border Guards Day that very day. If Rust had been a cruise missile instead of a fell on a joyride, Moscow may have been toast. But it was 7:30 in the evening, 16-hour flight. He approached Red Square from the south. Muscovites and tourists strolling through the great cobblestone plaza looked up to see the little Cessna buzzing Lenin's tomb, and then barely clearing the red brick walls of the Kremlin before touching down. The iron heart of world communism had become a landing strip for an amateur pilot with peach fuzz on his chin. But yeah, it's quite a little story. Of course, the next day, the Gorbachev sacked the defense minister. But the story is, you know, they were celebrating Border Guards Day when their airspace was invaded and the Red Square became a landing strip. And we need to be careful ourselves in a spiritual way that we do not celebrate too early. There was another story of that happened in this country where there was lifeguards were celebrating down in New Orleans, and the body was found at the bottom of the pool, and it was a tragedy. But what made it worse was the man drowned in the middle of lifeguards convention, in the presence of hundreds of trained athletic lifeguards eating and toasting each other on their spotless safety record. Someone choked, floundered, and drowned. And the lesson that for us as Christians, that we cannot celebrate too early. We need to be on our guard. We are no match for Satan. That may be the very day that our heart becomes is Satan's landing strip. Moving on, secondly, is youth keeping your guard. A number of thoughts here on youth keeping your guard, and that is, first of all, to have worthy goals. Youth, what kind of heart do you want? What kind of heart do you want? You think about the castle of your heart. Do you want a beautiful one, or do you want it to be ugly? Do you want it to be filthy? Do you want it to be clean? Do you want it to be functional, or do you want it to be dysfunctional? Youth, you want a castle that's ready for the Lord of the castle when he returns. In Matthew 24:42, it says, "Watch therefore, for you know not what the hour your Lord doth come." He's coming back. Jesus is coming back. And we need to be thinking about that. Do we want rooms in our heart that we are ashamed of? Rooms that are locked because of unconfessed sin? Well, let's have worthy goals. We won't have a clean heart without worthy goals and then some worthy actions. Have worthy goals, young people, for your heart and for your life. And the most important goal is that we're ready when Jesus comes back, when the Lord of the castle comes back. Secondly, youth keeping your guard is guard your thought life. Don't tell yourself things that are not true. What do you revolve in your mind? We need to intercept those self-loathing thoughts. Maybe I'm a nobody. Everybody else has a better life than I do. I'll be happy if I had more privileges. We need to watch those thoughts of infatuation, self-pity, selfish thoughts. Thirdly, guard your diversions. Youth, you like to do different things and have energy, but think about it. Is this something that is helping me be godly? Or is this infecting me to not love the Lord or to be ungodly? Is it a good stewardship of our time? Of time? And fourthly, thinking of this, youth, keeping your guard. Guard your music interest. Times I had a young fellow, he confessed rock music to me. Well, the lyrics were getting a hold of him, and that's what happens. The natural man, the lower nature, has an appeal for sensual music. And we hear it. You fill your car up with gas. But there's all kinds of music. Rap, country, and some of this music, it gives a lift. It's a temporary lift. It's just a temporary lift. You can then walk away from your car feeling empty because it didn't feed you. It just gave you a short lift. And I plead with you, especially you young people, don't get started on that road. Have convictions. And decide what is good for you. What does God approve of you? And guard your heart by guarding your music. Thirdly, youth, fortify yourself. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 7, words of Jesus. Youth, fortify yourself. Matthew 7. Verses 24 and 25. "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock." And that's the first point, is that we build on the rock. And that's capital letter R, rock. We build on the rock, Jesus Christ. And we build on Jesus as we put our life on truth. So, young men and young ladies, read the truth. Listen to the truth. Live out the truth in your life. It's very important. And secondly, use the Word of God relentlessly. Do you struggle with an impure thought life? Meditate. 1 Timothy 4:15 and 16, have an answer for that. Meditate on God's word. Think about it. And meleto is to carefully revolve in the mind, to muse upon. Saturate your mind with God's word. Put a verse on a recipe card or something. Carry it with you and during the day, look at it and memorize it and put it in your heart. Thinking about ways that of course, we can all, we're thinking of young people tonight, but all of us need to afford ourselves with prayer, that we would have a deep dependency on God. Prayer life. We need God's help, and that's one of the big problems when we can think we can handle it ourselves is we don't pray as we should. And we need a Christian that is doing well and is victorious, has a vibrant prayer life. We need to depend on God, but he's also depending on us. There's that aspect as well. Fourthly, is to communicate with others. You think about a castle. A castle had watchmen, it had knights, it had porters, and the point is that you and I need others in our life. You know, those knights and porters and watchmen, they needed to communicate. If they didn't communicate, bad things were going to happen. And I believe that's important for us as Christians, that we communicate with others. We're designed for companionship and brotherhood. We're not designed for isolation. We're not designed to just be spending hours on a cell phone. We're not designed for that. We're designed for companionship and relationship and looking into other people's eyes and understanding them and laughing together and crying together and having emotional connections with others. We need others to help keep guard. We need to realize that we can't ourselves. It's important to be fortified. It's very important. And I encourage the young people this evening that if you're fighting alone and you have some big battles, that you humble yourself and talk to somebody. We all tend to think that we're unique, that other people don't have this struggle. And it's not true. It's a lie from Satan. If you have this struggle, guaranteed someone else has this struggle. That's just how it works. And encourage you to talk to someone. You're not unique. Most likely your parents in ministry have faced the same battle in their life. We have lost many castles to the evil one. We need each other. Together we will be stronger. 1 Corinthians 16:13 is, watch ye, stand fast in the faith. And then it says on, quit you like men, be strong. Well, it's men, it's not man. We're stronger together as we relate together and talk about spiritual things together, talk about our defeats and our victories. We can be stronger. We need each other, and together we will be stronger. And of course, we as parents and adults in ministry, we do need to put a fourth effort to make it easy for our youth to talk to us about heart-to-heart issues. We need to take time to connect on things that are spiritual in nature and not just talk about all the physical things of life. Fourthly and lastly, is youth from your heart flows your life story. Youth, it's important that I should use the word imperative. It's imperative that you guard your deep inner source of life from contamination. Let's turn to Mark chapter 7. It's very important to keep yourself from contamination. Mark chapter 7, verse 20. Again, these are words of Jesus. And he said, Mark 7:20, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. We need to protect our hearts. Failure means we fail to protect our heart. It means that everything that flows out of our life will be tainted. It won't be right. So it's so important that we keep our hearts from receiving the toxins of the world. And that, because if we leave the toxins of the world seep into our heart, then what comes out of our heart will not be good. It will affect everything. Out of your heart are the issues of life. In March, this is my concluding thought. In March of 2008, I preached this baptismal message here. And the class was Marcus and David Martin, Nathan Jarman, and Chad Weaver. I'm here preaching it again 17 and a half years later. And at my last comment there was, Marcus, David, Nathan, and Chad, you've written a few sentences of your life story. Keep guarding your heart so all ends well, and you're safe on land by that heavenly shore. I think that was my last thought. And I'll repeat that this evening. Jenica, Layton, Ryan, Conrad, and Shane, you've written a few sentences of your life story. Keep guarding your heart so all ends well, and you're safe on land by the heavenly shore. God bless each one of you very, very much.